Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast, your online compass for navigating the wide world of modern dating. Whether you're swiping left, swiping right, or meeting someone in the real world, I'm here to help you make the best choices on your journey to finding love. In this season, I'm diving deep into the world of dating apps, breaking down what makes a killer profile, and how to spot the red flags in others. We'll also explore how to connect with someone special in real life and the art of striking up a conversation that actually leads somewhere. We will also tackle the tough stuff, like healing from past relationships and learning how to build healthier, stronger connections moving forward. So whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, join me as we explore the highs and lows of modern romance. It's time to swipe smart, date better, and find the love that truly fits. Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast, life and the choices we make. And tonight I have not one, but two guests. Tonight I have Meredith and Craig. Welcome, Meredith and Craig.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
Meredith and Craig are a married couple. Got my grammar right. They've been married for 5 years, but they have a very interesting backstory, and I've invited them on to tell us about how they met and where they came from and what they transitioned into, and I'm excited to hear their story. So I'm going to hand it off to you and tell us from the beginning or wherever you'd like to start.
Sure. Sounds good. Well, it's interesting, actually. Craig and I grew up 3 hours apart. We were born 3 hours from each other. But we didn't meet until we moved clear across to the other side of the country. We were working in the same company. That's where we met. So it's just interesting that we actually were born 3 hours from each other, but didn't meet until we were clearer on the other side of the country. We were working for the same company. And I mean, I had been single for the better part of a decade when we met. I'd had one pretty significant long-term relationship and then was single for quite a long time. I've tried multiple dating apps. I've been on a lot of dates. We can dive into how much fun or not fun all of that is.
Yeah.
But finally, I actually still to this day do not know what was inside of me that didn't let me settle in that 10-year period. But I'm very, very grateful that I didn't. And eventually found my way to this fella because we worked for the same energy company. And then, interestingly enough, we moved a little bit with that same company. And then around COVID, that company said they were closing the office that we worked at. That created a bit of a very stressful situation, a very stressful decision for us at that point, because we had the option of moving across the country, because we had kind of moved closer to where we were from, so we could move way back across the other side of the country again, or we could leave. And we really didn't know what to do with that decision. Everyone was sort of encouraging us to take the safe, secure path, stay with the company, move back across the country. Interestingly enough, though, at that same time, my dad got diagnosed with cancer, and we thought it would be his last Christmas. So we drove home to spend Christmas with my dad. And then while we were there, he ended up getting diagnosed with another cancer, which actually ended up being good news in the end, because that cancer was a more treatable one, and that's the one that had spread. And so, long story short, he actually was cancer-free for quite a while after that. But the reason I share that part about my dad was because that was the perspective that we needed to be able to make a really big decision. Discovered through that process with my dad that we actually wanted to be closer to family, closer. Craig's grandmother's still around. All of our parents were still around at that point. And so we wanted to be closer to home and spend that time with family as opposed to going further away. So it was the perspective we needed to make a really big decision. And even though we're both very planful people. We like to have a fully baked plan before we make any rash decisions. Even though we didn't have that plan, it still very much felt like the right decision inside of us to not move across the country and to leave our corporate jobs. Even though we had no idea what we were going to do next, we just knew we weren't moving, we weren't staying with the corporate gig, and we were going to try and figure it out on our own.
You may have said it, or I may have missed it, or you didn't. Were you married at that time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'd been together, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and then we got married. And then, so all of this is happening while we're married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, and you met, I think you did say this, you met at this corporate job.
Yeah.
Okay. We did. So, let's talk about that a second, because often I try to shy away, and this is just my feeling, is there are certain places that I don't date. So the expression is, you know, you don't shit where you eat. Like, I don't date in AA. I don't date in my workplace, only because it can become messy. In your case, you got lucky and maybe it was blissful.
Yeah, it was. But it was a big company too. So it's not like it was a company of 10 or 12 people where if you're dating one of them, then it gets awkward or weird.
Right.
And goes weird. It was
company of 10 or 12,000.
Yeah. It was a big company that there was lots of, and there's some different little pockets of the company that are like in different areas where there's not a huge population of people outside of working for that company. So there's a small dating pool otherwise. So people, there's actually quite a number of different people who met at that particular company.
And it's actually interesting how, because we didn't meet really crossing paths in our job. We actually met after work at a retirement party. And it's kind of interesting because it was a retirement party for three different people all retiring together who worked in three different areas. And I worked with one and he worked with another. And neither of us were really intending to go to that party that night. But the woman I worked with came by and she said kind of late in the afternoon, "You're coming, right?" I was like, I guess I can just stop in for a bit. But I'm certainly of the two of us, the one that's more likely to be at the party.
Yeah, I definitely don't. That's not normally my thing. For whatever reason, that particular party, that particular night, something told me to go, just show up and pay my respects to my colleague that I had worked with for a little while. And then, yeah, it just turns out that it was absolutely, absolutely the right move.
Yeah. And I'm thinking if one of you didn't show, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Right. Who knows what happens then? The weird, it's just a completely different world.
This is how certain. So in my last couple of years of being single, and of course, all my life, I intentionally go out and look for people. And sometimes they say, stop looking. It'll come to you, right? It'll just happen if it's meant to be. And apparently in your case, it was meant to be and it just happened. And all the planets were aligned, right? In the right way. And that's how you met.
It's probably super frustrating to hear that in the moment. Like, don't try so hard. It'll happen when it happens. And it's like, probably.
Right. Right. Because especially if it's coming from somebody who's married or is with somebody and you're sitting home on Friday nights watching Netflix, it's like, yeah, but I'm lonely. I'd like to make something happen. But anyway, but for you guys, it worked out great. So let's go back just prior to, so you met 5 years before that, then you married and now you're married 5 years. So you've known each other 10 years?
Yeah, we've been together about 10 years.
Okay. Prior to meeting each other at this retirement party, is there any backstories that either of you want to share or there's...
Well, I will share with you that I completely agree that I used to hear it all the time. It'll happen when you least expect it. And I wanted to punch every one of those people in the nose because every one of them were in a relationship and they would say it to me all the time. And, you know, it'll happen when it's meant to be and stop trying to force it and blah, 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 blah. But on the other side, I was also getting a lot of "you're too picky." And I even, talking about dating websites, I even let a couple of my friends make my dating profile at one point because I had gotten so frustrated. I'd been on a few at that point, had gotten nowhere for a few years on my own and said, all right, I surrender. You can write my dating profile and we'll see how I get along, which I had no better results from them writing my profile. But I got a lot of over the years, "You're too picky. You've got too high expectations. You need to lower your expectations." And No one really used the word settle, but that was the vibe I got from a lot of people. You need to lower those expectations and settle for what's around.
So I've heard both sides of that argument. So I've heard, because I do the same thing, and they're called deal breakers. So you go on and you have checkboxes that the person you're looking for should meet certain checkboxes. You know, it could be anything from age or how far they live from you or how much money they make or how tall they are. All this nonsense that goes in there. But really, that's the negative side. The positive side is you want who you want, and you shouldn't really settle, because I did. I settled. So I'm sober 10 years, and I've had 3 relationships in those 10 years. And the first woman that came along and showed interest in me, I all of a sudden, all the checkboxes were checked, regardless of whether I really looked into it. You know, and for example, the first one, and I was newly sober for about 2 years, I met her. And when I met her, she just told me she left a 30-year relationship with her husband because he was an alcoholic. So now she's dating an alcoholic in recovery. That's a red flag right there, because she's triggered and has 30 years of alcoholism. And it, needless to say, it didn't last a year. It just fell apart. So, you know, but I settled. She was pretty and she lived by near where I worked. And, you know, I had all these, but it just didn't work. And the second one, very similar. It was somebody I met on a dating app and she liked me. And I remember sitting at dinner one night, we were second or third date. And she said to me, you know, I'm dating 2 people and both of them are named Andrew, you and another guy. And she says, I'm weighing which one I want to go with. And I said, what have you chosen? And she says, I think I'm going to pick you. And I go, yay. You know, and so it's like, I didn't have any say in it. I just said, okay, you're picking me. But that lasted 15 months. So anyway, we're getting way off topic, but I agree that sometimes you shouldn't settle. You should really vet and know what you want, and doing that profile, be careful. Just be careful. So, and not to mention how much money you waste on these dating apps, because I can't tell you in the last 2 years, I've been on almost all the major ones in the last 2 years. And I do it for the show, because what I do is I go on dating apps and I come back and report to the audience, like Bumble is doing this and Hinge is doing that and whatever. Okay. So you had no success on dating apps. And why do you think you were single for 10 years?
I think I was single for 10 years because I needed to wait for this guy, is what I think.
Good answer.
I will say I had a list, but it had zero to do with the list. When I met him, it wasn't like he checked every box.
What?
He didn't like wine. I wanted someone who would drink wine with me. Sidebar, we don't drink at all anymore. So that was like, it's not even like something I thought was an important checkbox on my list. Not even a thing. It was about how I felt when we were together. It was about how we could have I could just feel it, that this was not a settle, that this was what I was looking for. It had nothing to do with the list of things I thought I wanted.
No checkboxes.
I think the checkboxes are nonsense. And I think when we go into opportunities with a list of checkboxes, we end up closing the door on people that might be amazing for us because we don't have a sense of adventure and being open to relationships that don't check every box. And so I think we close ourselves off and use that list as an excuse. But that's just a side. I was waiting for this guy.
I totally agree. And it's funny you mentioned that, because just last night I'm on one of my apps, and while I'm getting likes and matches, it's just not... I said, let me go check my filters and my box, all the preferences. And I started to broaden them a little bit. I said, let me think outside the box or open up. So I opened up some of the parameters, the distances, the ethnicities. And so to your point, sometimes if you narrow what you're looking for down too much, your chances are very limited. So, okay. So tell us how you met at this retirement party. And I'm imagining it's at a restaurant probably, right? And a lot of food and drinks and whatever. What drew you two together? Was it locked eyes across the room?
It was kind of random, really. It was just, you make your rounds and there's tons of people there that you know that you've worked with, and we'd worked with different people, some the same people. And so we're walking around the room and you know, shaking hands and how you been and all that good stuff. And then eventually we just made it into the same kind of group of people. We were all kind of in, you'd move around to different groups and have a little conversation here and there. And it ended up that we ended up in a similar group and we just started talking. And then
the started talking about football.
Yeah, we eventually started talking a little bit about some sports and different hobbies and things like that. And then, you know, the party starts to dwindle. People start to leave, but there's fewer and fewer. But we still happen to be there talking. And it just kind of organically just happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a locked eyes across the room kind of thing.
And you didn't know each other. You worked at the same corp, but you didn't know each other, right?
Seen each other. We had met, but not, we had never really worked together. I think we may have been in one meeting years before together, like, but not, there was nothing regular interaction.
No interaction. Okay.
We didn't know each other.
No, no.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible story. Okay. All right. So take us from there. So the retirement party ends and you, what's the next date look like?
He sent me a text the next day because he shared an office with a guy who was a bit of a coffee snob who would grind his own coffee beans and said, you know, he was up late the night before and said, I'll make sure Pat gets the coffee on early for you tomorrow. And so I went down and we had a little chat in the office. But our first real date was we live in Canada. So we went out for a couple of drinks and went to a hockey game because, you know, that's what Canadians do.
That's what you do in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, we just went on a date, went to the hockey game, and then thereafter it was a hit. The time before leading up to the game was probably like the more clear indication that this date was going well. The conversation flowed really well. There was no like weird awkwardness or anything like that that you sometimes get on these
right.
dates. It just flowed. It was just organic, though. It was natural. It just felt right. And then so we went to the hockey game. That was cool. And then from thereafter, we just kind of kept, you know, contact and went on another date. I don't remember thereafter, like what the next date was or what the one after that was, but I know they were regular and, you know, frequent. So
usually sports related.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds very nice. And maybe one day I'll have that experience because okay. I'm told very often by my support circle, and because I'm a little bit of I'm a workaholic, so I work during the day and I work on the podcast at night, and I don't really get out a lot. And because I don't drink, I don't go to bars, I don't go to these social events, so it's hard for me to show up at a retirement party. I mean, I would go if there was somebody retiring, but I'd probably do what you guys did, probably like, you know, should I go, should I not go? I'll go, I'll stay for 10 minutes, whatever. Okay, so let's fast forward. 5 years later, Craig, you ask her to marry you?
I do. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. She says yes. I don't have all the words out of my mouth. She's snatching that ring, putting it on her hand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I was pumped. It was a great moment. Yeah. And then,
We eloped, actually.
Yes. Yeah. We just, the two of us went off and snuck away and just got married. Just the two of us. Great day.
We just didn't want all the stuff, right? Like
yeah.
all people's opinions, all the things. Like we just wanted to have a nice, quiet little thing for just the two of us. And like we went through a drive-through on the way home, picked up some burgers, watched a soccer game. Like it was a very...
You'll sense a theme. We're sports fans.
Yes. It was a very sort of calm, easy, relaxing. Like it was very lovely. It was just for us. And I'm sure we upset a few people, some family were.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But it was what we wanted. It was simple. It was exactly what worked for us.
And you probably saved a lot of money because.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of really why you're here. At what point? So you both left the corp. Was it because they let you go? I think you said it was COVID and they let you go?
They were closing the office we worked at. And
okay.
So we could have kept our jobs and or been promoted to move across the country. Or if we didn't want to move, we could leave. And so with all that what was going on, perspective that we got, we said, we're not moving. We're leaving, even though we don't know what that means.
But it's crazy because our identities were tied up in our corporate jobs. Like
yeah.
we were corporate employees. That's what we had known from like little kids. Like we were born and raised to like go to school, get good grades. Then you go and go to university, college, get more good grades. You graduate, then you go to get a good job at a corporate firm, and then you go up the ladder.
Save for retirement. And
that was what we knew. And so our identities were completely tied up in that. And we were good at that. We were good employees. We were, you know, getting the raises and getting the promotions and going up the ladder and checking all the boxes. So that our identity was completely tied in that. So it was really difficult when we made the decision, okay, we're leaving all of that behind. And I had no idea what we're going to do. We had no idea what we were going to do. We were just like, let's just jump out of the plane and we'll build the parachute on the way down. And that's scary as hell. That is super, super scary, especially for, like, her, to her point, two people that are typically like plan oriented people. Entrepreneurship was a shock to our system,
yeah,
for sure. And so when we jumped out of the plane, we did some research and we realized real estate investing is where people, you know, they can take their money, they invest it and they make a good return and they replace that corporate income. And that was our main goal when we left, was let's quickly as possible, replace that lost salary that we're not going to have anymore. And then let's go build a business. And so we started that business. And
we got the business coach and the website and the market, all of the things.
And so we were miserable. And we started to like pick at each other and snipe at each other a little bit. And that's not like us at all, because we were very intentional when we got together that we were going to build an amazing relationship, an amazing marriage. And up to that point, we had built a really, really strong foundation, but we could feel the stress of this was starting to chip away at that a little bit. And we were starting to snipe at each other. And that's a no-go for us. So we hit pause, we hit time out, and we had a conversation, a really difficult conversation about what is it that we're doing here? Neither of us seem very happy with what we've chosen, and we're starting to take it on each other. And that's not a good thing. We need to nip this in the bud right now. And so we decided in that moment that this business that we've started is done. Let's toss this and let's figure out what we actually want. Because we realized up to this point, we didn't take even one second to really evaluate what we want our life to be. We just all of a sudden jumped out of one business, our corporate life, into a business that we didn't even want, that didn't even align with the lifestyle that we were trying to build. And
you probably didn't know very much about either.
No,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So we had to take, so we decided in that moment, we're going to push pause on trying to create a business. And we're just going to figure out who we are, what we want, and what we want to be in this world, and what gift we want to provide the world. And so that was the journey that we took from there forward.
And here you are. The next phase, you took some time off.
Yep.
Obviously working on the marriage to get back to that foundation that you had built.
Yep. And we had gone to like a couple of conferences around investing, trying to figure out what we should do next. And at those conferences, there was a personal growth angle. Like, that was our kind of first introduction to personal growth and discovering things about ourselves that we needed to work on, what our limiting beliefs were, what was holding us back, that our identity was even tied to our corporate life. And because we were going through an identity crisis, but didn't even know that we were in that moment. And that's how we discovered personal growth. And we sort of dove into that in this whole experience of who are we? Who do we want to be? What's our purpose? What do we want to give to the world? And so we started going to different personal growth events, and we ended up meeting different people at all these events. And a lot of people would come up and say, oh, hey, it's cool you're doing it together. It seems like you've got a pretty strong relationship. How do you make that work? How do you get your spouse to come along? How do you have these conversations? How do you do this together? And so we just were answering people sort of ad hoc, one-off, as people asked us questions. And we really enjoyed that, but we didn't think much of it until at one of these events, the guy who was running the event said, at the next event, I want you two on stage talking about relationships. And that's when we said, oh, maybe we actually do have something of value that can be offered on a larger scale here. And so we went away and sort of planned our talk based on what works for us, how we created such a strong foundation for us. And we kind of codified that. And that was the basis for that talk we gave, which ended up actually being the basis for everything we do now. But that's almost how we stumbled backwards a little bit into relationship coaching. And like, look, it's interesting because looking forward, we never could have predicted this path. Like when we left our corporate jobs, there was a lot of things that had to align to get us to where we are. But when you look backwards, the stars seem to align very easily. You just could never see it looking forward. So it was very interesting how we ended up here, but very grateful that we did.
I have had, I don't know, I'm up 200 something episodes, and I've had many, many, many coaches on, dating coaches, life coaches, relationship coaches, you know, and but they were either male or female. I think you are the first two that I've had on that are a couple of coaches. But what does that look like? So you now have a business called Road of Life Coaching.
Yep.
Do you help couples or individuals? Do you do it together? Or Meredith, you take one client and Craig, you take another? Walk us through that.
The beauty is we can do all of those things. We do whatever is needed and necessary for that specific situation, for that. But typically, we typically coach together and we typically coach couples. But that's not to say that we haven't coached one of the spouses.
Because sometimes one spouse is ready to get help before the other one is.
A lot of times.
Well, we've definitely started with one and then the other one comes along eventually, and then we're eventually coaching the couple together. But sometimes it starts with one. Other times they do start together. So we can start with the couple together, or we can start with the one and then the other one generally joins when they see that the first couple is really starting to make change and do things differently. They get interested and they join along. But we do very most often coach together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question that I think some of the audience might ask, or it might just be a question that comes to mind, because I have been married twice, technically. Not technically. The second one was a marriage, but it was a long term, and we had a child. There's marriage therapy, right, or marriage counseling, where you go and see a therapist, and now I'm for the first time, and I'm sure there's several of you out there, more than, but I'm with a couple coaching couple. Mm-hmm. It's very tongue twisting. What's the difference between me? Let's say I had my wife or girlfriend or fiance next to me, of us coming to you as opposed to going to a couple's counselor, licensed therapist, PhD, something like that?
It's a great question. The primary difference is we're equipping you to solve problems and move forward. We need to know what sort of stories and beliefs you're bringing into this relationship so we can work on those and come forward. But we're not going to live there. We're not going to spend a lot of time in the past, in the experiences that you had. We're not dissecting those. We are not living in any of those past experiences. We want to see how those past experiences are showing up today and how we can change the story that you're telling yourself about that experience so that you can move forward in your life. So we're more focused on equipping for the future than fixing the past.
I like that, because the last time I was in therapy with a woman was this is what he did last week, and this is what he always does, and then it was my turn. It was like a bitch fest, you know? Yeah. And it didn't go anywhere, and she quit after 3 weeks. So
exactly. Who wants to go to that when all you're doing is judging up the past and hurts and past feelings? Like, that's not helpful. That's not something that's going to move you forward. We want to focus on the solutions. So the past is the past. Let's forgive each other. Let's move. But this is a new line in the sand, and let's move forward.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there. Okay, so you tell me, your typical clientele are couples just struggling? Do you have any that have cheated on each other, or one has cheated on the other?
We've dealt with people who have cheated, yes.
Okay, that must be a more difficult task than...
It can be. It really depends on the individuals involved and their commitment to moving forward. And the commitment to doing the work, I shouldn't say commitment to moving forward, but commitment to doing the work required to move forward. And we will work with couples with it where infidelity has been an issue. Where we draw a boundary is we won't work with couples where there's ongoing infidelity. If there's an ongoing infidelity,
makes sense.
Right for us. You have to come back into integrity, the integrity of your marriage, to be able to work with us.
To waste the time. If he or she is still out there, no.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
not
that,
doing
well, that. Well, that just makes sense. So, okay, geez. So let's get into some of the magic that you guys perform. So, like, I have some questions here. I guess maybe one of them would be, what's the most common marital, or let's just say, keep it to couple. Are your clients typically married, or are you?
Usually married, yeah.
Okay. What is the number one complaint? Complaint might not be the right word.
Yeah, I would say that they've drifted. That the relationship's gone cold. They're disconnected. They're like more like roommates. They don't like ships passing in the night. They just don't feel connected.
They're maybe walking on eggshells. They're not talking because they're avoiding arguing. Like, they really got a distance that's grown between them, and they don't know how to get back together. That's the number one complaint. I would say far and away the most common thing that we hear.
Do any of the couples have children? Because a lot of times that's children will come into the marriage 3 years old, 5 years old. The mom is, whether she's working or not, has to take care of the child. The dad's out working. And by the end of the night, they just plop down in the bed, and there's no intimacy. There's no conversation. There's nothing. And then they rinse, wash, repeat. And it just goes on for months and months and months. And the love just goes out of the marriage, right? Or the
That's exactly it.
Respect for each other. How do you fix that?
Well, we have to reprioritize the marriage. We get it. Life is busy, kids, work, all the stuff. It's like a flower, though. It needs water and sunlight. Your marriage needs water and sunlight. So it's about prioritizing the marriage and making sure that we have just little connections. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours, but dedicated time together. Start there. Let's you know, start small and build forward. But it's about reconnecting. So having a difficult conversation and, you know, reconnecting on a daily basis.
And we have a framework that we bring in for people, and it's got four major commitments and a specific mindset. And so the first commitment that we work on with people is the commitment to themselves. Because first and foremost, the only relationship you have from when you live, born to when you die, is with yourself.
Correct.
And you can only receive love and acceptance and give it to the degree that you love yourself. So that's your rate limiting step. And so we need to start there and start with that relationship and get you right with you so that you can give and receive love in your marriage. And then the second commitment is the commitment to the relationship, like the actual stuff that he just touched on, like the communication, the vulnerability, the trust, the intimacy, all of that stuff. There's, you know, we work on some skills and strategies within the relationship space. And then the third commitment is the commitment to fun and adventure, because fun is such an underrated part of any relationship, but especially a marriage, because when you're having fun, the communication's flowing, the connection is there, the trust is there, everything else is firing when the fun is there. Plus, when things are fun, you're more willing to do it and engage in it. And so when the fun goes away, which is not unique to anyone that's listening to this podcast, the fun goes away for almost everybody in the busyness of life with kids and jobs. And
right.
There's a million to-dos. Like, fun falls down the to-do list really far, to the point that a lot of people, when we get to this point, say, I don't even know what fun means for me anymore. I don't even know how to have fun. Like, that's how lost it gets.
But it's just so critical to inject fun in just the day-to-day. Like, 99% of life is the mundane task of making dinner, going to work, dealing with the kids' soccer practices and all that stuff. And it's in those moments that you need to inject fun and have a little bit of humor, inside jokes and things like that. So there's some skills and some things that we go through there to get people having fun and having an attitude of adventure, just injecting little moments of fun and adventure in the mundane. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth pillar or commitment is a commitment to the future, because we need to have something we're building towards together that puts us on the same team. So a shared common vision that we're both working towards that puts us on the same team. And it creates this us versus the world energy, where all the other little things that come into the relationship that maybe would have been like nitpicky or annoying, that we would have maybe argued or fought about, those fall by the wayside. They don't have that level of importance that we used to put to them, because now we have our eyes on the bigger prize, that North Star, that thing that we're building towards together. And so that's the fourth one. And then, sorry, did you have something you want to say?
Yeah. As you're saying this and talking about fun, I am imagining, and I have a couple in mind that I know, that the husband is a sports fanatic. And so either on Sundays, it's football day or golf day. Or so Sunday is my day off. I've worked all week and I'm going golfing with the guys. And Saturday afternoon is the wife's day to go shopping with the girlfriends or pick any activity. And so they're off having fun, but with their buddies and their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And do you come across that? And how do you tell them, well, you might have to give up your golf day one day to take her out? Like, do you text? In my experience, it goes back to the dating courtship days. Court your wife all over again.
That's it. Yeah, I guess the question I would put to those two people is, what's your priority? Because right now, your priority is what you're doing.
Not each other.
Right. Yeah, it's not each other. Your priority is your sports with your buddies, and your priority is shopping with your girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And if that's your priority, then that's your priority. But what are we doing here? Why are we talking about your relationship?
Why exactly?
Right?
Actually, one little trick for helping to clarify your priorities, we all very easily say, I don't have time. If someone asks us for something, we all very easily, without any reservations, will say, I don't have time for that.
That's my first excuse. Yep.
If you say to someone, that's not a priority for me, that hits a little different, especially if you're talking to your spouse or your kids or someone who means something to you, who is a priority in your brain. Like if someone were to ask you for your priorities and these people would be on that list, when you then turn around and instead of saying, I don't have time, say, that's not a priority for me, that's going to hit a little different, and it's going to actually clarify what your priorities actually are in your mind. So if your wife is actually your priority, but you don't have time to hang out with her because you're going to play golf with your buddies, instead of saying, sorry, honey, I don't have time, you say, sorry, honey, you're not my priority right now.
Right.
That feels very different. And that will actually, you will actually physically realign your behavior to align with your priorities when you start saying it. So it's just kind of a little language trick that can be helpful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you have to sacrifice. So yeah, I think both of them would have to sacrifice. That's my thing. You know, it's funny because this podcast is all about me restructuring my life so I can find a life partner, but also learning that I have to live in my own skin and be comfortable before I start dating again, because I was a people pleaser. And like I said to you before we started recording, I settled with any woman that came along and liked me. And now I've been single for 2 years and I have found so many things to fill my time with. Besides the two jobs that I have, I play tennis and I bike, and now I'm playing pickleball. And I said to myself the other day, I was going through one of my dating apps and I was chatting with just somebody. And I said, you know, I don't know, when am I going to have time to date this woman? And I was just like, all of a sudden I have a full life, and that priority, like I need a woman, kind of took a back seat. But to your other point about what's my goal for the future, you know, I'm getting older. I'm approaching retirement. Like, I still got a few years, but I'd like to retire with somebody next to me so we could walk into the sunset on the beach, you know, together, hands in hand. So somewhere in there was a question. I don't know what that was, but so tell me more about, let's talk about your podcast. When did you spawn that? And is that related to the coaching business?
We just had our year. We just hit the year mark back in October. So we've been doing it for about a year and a month or so.
You do it together?
We do it together.
Okay.
And we basically share a different relationship strategy each week, usually in bite-sized 15 to 20 minute episodes. Yeah. Where we just share kind of something that's going on or something that we hear a lot of, and then share a strategy to deal with it.
And we tell how it relates with us, like how
stories,
any stories that are relevant and how we've overcome this issue, or what tactics and things work for us, or, you know, anything that might be somewhat entertaining. Like we try and make it as relevant to, you know, real life as possible.
We pull a little bit from, obviously without highlighting who people are, but things that we learn through our coaching business. And we have guests on who
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, occasionally we have a guest or two on, someone who's usually a married couple, a lot of times that are working together, going through a business kind of together. And we just share stories and tips and tricks.
You brought up a good point. Is it wise wise might not be the right word. You're a couple married and in a business together. What is your experience about couples who work together? Because in my experience, that's not good unless they have a great foundation like you do.
Yeah, I think and it's exactly that, right? Like every situation is unique, but if you have that strong foundation, I don't see any issue at all with working together. You have to realize what role you're in when you're in the role, when you're
the trick,
right? So sometimes her and I, Meredith and I, are in a relationship. We're always in a relationship, but sometimes that relationship is
business partners,
coworkers. We're talking about the business. We're not talking about our marriage or something else. But we still have that hat. So we have to make sure that we're, you know, which hat are we wearing? And so those people that are working together, are they wearing the colleague's hat or are they the married couple hat? Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I think, understanding which hat you're wearing when. And
we make a really solid effort to end the workday around dinner time. Like we'll close the computers and we'll go and make dinner and we'll dance in the kitchen or do something to, usually we go for a walk actually to kind of create a boundary. So like that walk is sort of where we change hats.
Right. It's like a buffer zone.
Exactly. Like we might finish a couple of conversations with the business owner hat on and then we take the hat off and we'll put on the best friend's hat for a minute and talk about something that's, you know, we want to plan some fun thing to do. And then we'll come home and we'll put the married couple hat on and we'll start cooking dinner in the kitchen. And, you know, we're very intentional about what role we're playing at what time. And when we're wearing our married couple hats, like we're not business owners with each other. We can still talk about the business, but we're very much married couples supporting each other on the same team, like a married couple would, and not challenging each other from the sense of a business owner.
Okay. All right. We have about 10 minutes left. I have two questions and I'd like your response. And then I'll give you a couple minutes just to, I guess, talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about your business to the audience. And these questions came right from your bio. So what is the number one thing someone could do right now to improve their relationship?
Number one thing they can do right now, besides listen to the Road of Life podcast, because I think that would be helpful. But besides that, I think the number one thing they can do right now is what we call check-in questions. And so every night when we're getting ready for bed, that's when we do it. You can do it in the morning. You can do it whenever it works for you. But we do it at bedtime. We ask each other a really specific question. It cannot be, how was your day? How was your day does not work. How was your day gets you a fine, a good, or it gets you a comprehensive report of every single detail of every single thing that happened that whole day. That's not what we're looking for. We're asking a really specific question around, what was the favorite thing that happened to you today? What made you laugh today? What was the highlight of your day? Something really, really specific.
So stay away from negativity. Try to ask for positive.
We usually do try and stay positive. It does still work to say, you know, what was the hardest part of your day today? And then that can, you know, that still works and can prompt a conversation of how you can support them going forward.
Because a couple that doesn't work together, that they do have separate jobs, or maybe the wife does stay home, two kids, whatever the case is, the husband may come home and have had a horrible day, had a fire, two people, or his boss, you know, leaned in on him. Like, God, that's my job. And, you know, he comes home and he's just not in a good place. So the wife says to do the check-in and he wants to unload. Mm-hmm. And that might be a lot for her to handle because she just had a whole day with two crying babies. You know, you see, so how do you navigate that?
It helps to find a time. I'd say as soon as someone walks in the door is probably not the best time, or when you're in the middle of baby stuff or kid stuff or dinner stuff, or it's more like you get up a little bit earlier and have a coffee together in the morning, or at bedtime as like the lights are down, you're getting into bed. The trick to this is to be really specific, because then you don't get a huge download. You're asking for what was the hardest part of your day, or what was the most fun thing you did today? And then that makes them think and give you a really thoughtful answer that's fairly succinct usually, because you're asking for one thing. What happens is, because you asked something specific that made them think about something specific, they feel like you actually care and want to be included and engaged in their day. And you do, because you're approaching it with curiosity. it can't just be a box checking exercise. You have to show genuine curiosity in this check-in question, but it builds connection between the two of you. Because if you don't spend your day together, you do still want to connect over that day. And a very specific check-in question is the best way to do that.
And that leads me to question number two. And I don't think we even mentioned this word. And I think it has to be mentioned. Sex.
Uh-huh.
We haven't talked about that. So we might have brushed it at the beginning. So a couple comes, it could be a weekday, it could be a weekend. And again, they come home, the kids are, dinner is done and the dishes are done. And they both go in and watch TV, whatever. And especially after 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, when sex is not as hot and heavy as it was in the honeymoon period and the courtship period and even the early days, how do you have a strategy to help couples ignite their sex life again?
Yeah, go ahead. Did you ever... No, you got some.
Yeah, almost sounded like that's his division, right? Yeah, like that's his department.
That's our department.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
Actually, even before we get to the physical intimacy, before we get to the sex part, you have to back up and work on the emotional intimacy first.
Okay.
That has to be there. So that's part of the relationship to yourself, getting right with you, and then building the connection and the intimacy with your partner, because that intimacy and that trust has to be there. If there's been no sex and no emotional intimacy, you're feeling completely disconnected, the sex part's not going to come first. The emotional connection has to come first. So once that happens, then everything else gets a little easier from the sex perspective once you're reconnected emotionally. And then also, I think it has to be an ongoing conversation. Like, it has to be what would meet your needs? What would meet my needs? Are we meeting each other's needs? And that's why the emotional connection has to be there first, because you have to be able to get vulnerable and have these conversations about what it means to meet your needs and what it means to meet my needs. And if you can't have that conversation, you're never going to get your needs met.
And a lot of times when sex is taken away from the relationship or it fizzles out, it's a lot of times because that emotional connection's been gone and the trust isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we need to rebuild that and get to a point where, like, if someone feels seen, heard, valued, respected, they're much more likely to be
in the mood,
turned on,
in
and
the mood. Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
If they don't feel seen, heard, valued, and respected, they're not going to want to have sex. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So we need to rebuild that trust and build that relationship back from the beginning and get to the point where all of those things are in place, where both partners feel the urge to want to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Excellent answer. And I actually have another question, but that would take us, we'd have to make a left turn and get into it. But maybe I'll have you guys back for a part two, because you know what? I did not expect this. And you guys are great. I'm getting great answers and great insight to something that I just didn't think of. Okay, we got to wrap it up. So a couple of minutes, I'm going to give it to you. Talk to the audience. Why should we come to you? What or anything you want to give free advice or...
I mean, I think our podcast is excellent. And because it's nice and short, like we put it out once a week, it's nice and short. You can go in and kind of figure out what area you want to work on. So if you and your spouse are having some difficulty with conflict resolution, like you're arguing about the same stuff all the time. You can't ever kind of actually have a productive argument and get anywhere. Like maybe you want to start with the conflict resolution episode and how to have difficult conversations. And so I think that's an excellent place to start if you need a little bit of help in your relationship.
And it's a good bolt on to the Anonymous Andrew Show, because the Anonymous Andrew Show is about 45 minutes to an hour. And this one's like 15, 20 minutes. We can spare 15, 20 minutes. It's not an either or, it's an and.
Yes.
You can listen to 45 minutes of me and 15 minutes of you. 1 hour. Boom.
Exactly. The other thing I would suggest is our Instagram account. Following us on Instagram at Meredith and Craig. Because that's where we also share, like, obviously it's shorter snippets. It's not 15-minute episodes, but it provides bite-sized tactics, tools, strategies, and we'll share, like, different, what are they called?
Concepts.
Yeah, but like, actual tools. Like, we've got some free tools that we share on Instagram all the time.
Okay.
So if you need some a little bit of help, like a we actually have a tool specifically on how to have those check-in conversations, how to, when to, what to say, ideas for questions, like that would walk people through exactly how to do that effectively. So you can get all that stuff on Instagram.
And the one thing I'll say to everyone is that it always seems like fixing a marriage or healing a marriage or reconnecting a marriage seems daunting and scary and uncomfortable, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can be lighthearted, fun, and there can be growth can be fun. Like you can have a good time repairing it, and we don't have to live in the past where all of the hurt, scared and the hurt and all of that
and
uncomfortable
the sour. Yeah,
because that's where all of that lives. Let's go there for a second just to understand like what the lesson is that we need to pull out of there and move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then let's have fun. Let's have fun and rebuild this. Let's, because you chose each other for a reason.
Right.
And we can get to a place where that's the thing again. Like that fun is back in your marriage and it can be a fun process.
And that's
so
the thing.
Don't worry about the scary and uncomfortable.
Like you said, sometimes when people think of fixing their marriage, they think of marriage counseling and driving to the office and sitting there and it's awful. You can actually enjoy the process. It doesn't have to be awful. It can be enjoyable.
And the last thing I would leave people with is whatever your issue is just get help for it with whoever you think can help you. Just ask for help, because a lot of times people are just afraid to even put their hand up to say they need help.
Yeah.
And if you never do that, you'll never get the help. And then you'll always live with regret, but always be unhappy in the relationship that you're in.
Like a hamster wheel.
Exactly. So at the very least, put up your hand. I don't care if it's with us or not. If it's with us, great. If we speak to you, if you think that this is something that would resonate for you, then absolutely reach out. But if it's not us, reach out to somebody, because your relationship and you are worth having the relationship that you want.
All right. Meredith and Craig, thank you so much. I didn't know where this was going to go, but it went better and farther than I expected or anticipated. And I might want to have you back, because there's a couple of areas that we'll talk about it when I stop recording. But there's some stuff that I'd love to hear your take on. And we'll see if it's good enough for a second episode. We'll go there. So,
sounds good.
All right. So, Meredith and Craig, their podcast is called Road of Life Podcast. Their coaching service is Road of Life Coaching, and their website is roadoflifecoaching.com. Correct?
You got it.
And all of that will be in the show notes. And thank you.
Pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
I would like to thank Craig and Meredith so very much for stopping by. What an interesting perspective from a married couple who are doing a married coaching business. Just first time I had that on, and I learned some great stuff. You know, like towards the end there when they do the check-ins at night, that was something that I used to really believe in, is that you check in with your significant other at the end of the day or the end of the week, or you would just sit down and talk about, like, you would give them like 30, 60 seconds and say, hey, tell me what's on your mind. Do you have anything you want or need to tell me, and vice versa. And it works. And it's a really good way to air out your grievances and not get into a fight. And I really enjoyed that. And Meredith and Craig, thank you from the Road of Life Coaching. Thank you again very much. So, folks, once again, if you're enjoying this podcast, I could really, 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 and really, if I didn't say it enough, use your support. I could use some more reviews. And I could definitely use some support financially. If you look in the show notes, you'll see buy me a cup of coffee. Please click on that. We're talking $5, folks. You're not signing up. I'm not collecting your email. We're not going to, you know, like put you down for like a month of subscriptions. You're not going to get a bunch of junk mail from me. It's simply a donation to help me pay for the podcast. And one of the best ways for podcasts to really grow is word of mouth. And I just want to give a shout out. I played pickleball with a couple yesterday, and I knew they were going to be there, but a buddy of mine turned them on to my show. And when I introduced myself, I said, "Hey, my name is Andrew." And she said, "Oh, you're Anonymous Andrew." It was like, "Yeah, that's me." So, yeah, word of mouth, folks. It works. Spread the word. Dating. Listen, you got to know somebody who's single. You got to know somebody who's fed up with the dating apps, or they've given up on the dating world. I listened to a podcast today about a woman who gave up on the dating world. And one of these weekends, I'm going to do a rant on why I think it's really happening. Why the dating world is crumbling. And I have some ideas, so we're going to get into that shortly. Anyway, Anonymous Andrew saying thank you for tuning in. And until next week, ciao.